This is your AEW Dynamite review for October 9th, live from Boston, week two of the Wednesday Night War. AEW won the first week in the ratings. WWE congratulated, put quote marks around that, congratulated AEW on their big win. I'm sure they did so with their fingers crossed behind their back. And Kevin Smith, this is interesting. I saw this a little bit earlier, and I'm not sure how many of you saw this or not, so I figured I would mention this before we get going here. I laughed out loud when I read this, because I'm not really surprised at something like this happening. But Kevin Smith said that he and Jason Mewes, who of course made an appearance on the AEW premiere last week on TNT, their big Jay and Silent Bob, is it a sequel or a reboot? Probably a sequel. Anyway, their movie's coming out soon, I think next week. So they were on, you know, in part to promote the movie, and they did a little thing with Jack Evans and Angelico. Nothing major. They were just sitting at ringside. And Kevin Smith says that they were bumped from the SmackDown premiere on Fox last week because of their appearance on AEW Dynamite. They got a call the next morning saying, "We don't need you anymore for SmackDown on Fox this Friday. You can't come on anymore," is what they supposedly told him. This is according to Kevin Smith. So Jay and Silent Bob, the first casualties of the Wednesday Night War. Like last week, I'm not going to have any NXT spoilers here. I have not seen the show yet. I don't do the whole two shows at once thing because I got to be focused. I mean, look, we got a show here with Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone on commentary. I mean, for Tony's voice, if nothing else, I need to hear the commentary. I have to give it my full, undivided attention. So I don't do the two-in-one thing. But there are a lot of people who are tuning in right now, I'm sure, who have not watched NXT yet. And so I don't want to give away any spoilers for anybody who may want to watch NXT later on, like I'm going to. So you don't have to worry about any kind of spoilers here, just FYI. I don't do that here on this show. Super Chats are open for those who wish to donate. Thank you to everybody who always supports the podcast. Your support is very much appreciated. You guys are the best. And so they are open for those who wish to donate. This was a show here tonight that was simulcast on both TNT and True TV because they were worried that one of the baseball games might run long. Now, baseball is not usually shown on TNT, but they were worried that they may have to possibly air one of the games or start airing one of the games on TNT if the other one ran long. That didn't happen, but they aired it on True TV anyway. So tonight was the first night that Dynamite was simulcast on two different channels live at the same time. So we'll see how that affects the numbers when they come in tomorrow. I guess we'll just combine the two. I guess that's what people will do. Take the TNT number, take the True TV number, which I can't imagine is going to be that high, and just sandwich the two of them together. So let's get into it here. The show opened, and what I thought, by the way, overall was a very good show. It didn't, you know, it wasn't the big premiere last week, but I thought this was a good continuation from last week. They forwarded a whole bunch of stories. They set up a couple of big matches for next week. They, you know, set up some big matches or promoted some of the big matches for the pay-per-view, the main one being the main event. And on the whole, I thought it was a very good show. Maybe the best part of the show was the opener. Show opened with an outstanding tag team title tournament match between the Young Bucks and Private Party. The world knows what anybody who has seen Private Party in House of Glory already knew. Isaiah Cassidy, Mark Quinn, they are one of the most, if not the most, exciting tag team in the world right now. I've had the chance, in fact, to call some of their matches, which is not an easy thing to do when you watch what they do in the ring. Thank God I'm the color guy, I'm not the play-by-play guy, but it's not an easy thing to do. It's actually a lot more fun just to sit back and watch them than it is to call their match, but I've had the chance to do that before. So anybody who has watched their work knew they were very good, and now it's cool to see all the comments on Twitter, "Oh my God, what a match, Private Party, so much fun." And it's really cool to see them opening up a lot of eyes, and other people now are on the bandwagon for Private Party because they are really good. They showed Jack Evans and Angelico sitting in the crowd there in the tournament as well. SCU was shown sitting in the crowd. Crowd was hot for both teams. They were really into Private Party to the point where they almost turned the Bucks heel as the match went on. Marquen was the star of the show here. He went nuts. Four straight dives out of the ring at one point, two on each side. You know my thoughts on all the dives in wrestling, but this guy was going nuts. You know what he reminded me of in this match? There was a period of time when everybody's favorite Universal Champion, Seth Rollins, was actually really hot as a performer. He was part of the Shield. And he would have these sequences in some of these big Shield six-man matches where he would go nuts. He would lose his mind. Non-stop, boom, 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 move after move. He would dive out of the ring on one side. He'd get back in. He would dive out of the ring on the other side. Everybody's on their feet. I mean, he would, you know, the fiery babyface. That was what Seth Rollins used to be when the Shield went babyface and he was still in the Shield. We don't get too much of that anymore. But that was what Marquen was doing here in this match. Diving out here, diving out there, nonstop. And the place ate it up. Matt Jackson hit three straight Northern Lights suplexes to Isaiah. Marquen came in. He grabbed him too. Why not? Double Northern Lights suplex on the two of them for a near fall. Private Party hit Gin and Juice, which is a pretty cool finish, but they did not use it as the finish here. 450 splash for a near fall only on Matt, I believe it was. Bucks eventually set up for the Meltzer driver. Nick gets yanked off the apron, and Marquen rolls up Matt for the shock win. I don't know too many people, or I don't know that too many people would have had Private Party picked to advance here in this tournament. I didn't have the Young Bucks winning or anything, but I believe when I gave my predictions, this was many weeks ago, I thought they would probably go to the semifinals. I mean, I have the Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy winning the whole thing, and I'm going to stick to that. I think they should win. I think they're going to win. You know, as hot and as over as Private Party was tonight, I still say Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy is the hottest act in this company, which is kind of weird because we haven't seen them the first 2 weeks. We're 2 weeks into the TV show now. I think they were part of the dark match special that debuted on YouTube the other day. But here on TNT, these first 2 weeks, no sign of the Jurassic Express, which is kind of weird. But they set up for the Meltzer driver, and as I said, Marquen got the roll-up. Private Party wins, and the Young Bucks are eliminated from the tag team tournament. The Bucks took the win in their first match over the summer at House of Glory when these two teams faced off, and so Private Party comes back here when it counts, and they get, I mean, it's got to be the biggest win of their lives. So they get the biggest win of their career here tonight, and they move on to meet the winner of the Lucha Bros and the Jurassic Express. And again, I'm sticking with the Jurassic Express to win the entire thing. If it's me, I'm putting them over at the end of this tournament and I'm putting those titles on them. But this was great. This was fantastic. I mean, what a freaking match this was. Chris Jericho, he came to the ring, flanked by Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz for a promo. He's calling his new group the Inner Circle. I thought he would end up going with something like Alpha Club or something with the word alpha in it. I didn't think he would name his group after the Jamaican reggae band that sang the theme song to Cops, but here we are. I like it. It's not a bad name. He called Sammy a teenage heartthrob and a Spanish god. Sammy Guevara, by the way, if you watched his interview with Chris Van Vliet, I think it was within the last couple months. Unless I'm misremembering, I'm pretty sure in that interview, the funny part about it is I don't think he knows any Spanish. I think he mentioned that in the interview. But here Jericho called him a Spanish god, and Santana and Ortiz, he called them killers, which is accurate. He called Jake Hager, Jake Hagar, like Sammy Hagar. I mean, maybe Swagger does pronounce his name that way. I don't know. I'm calling him Hager because that's the way it's spelled. And it just sounds less ridiculous that way. Fans started chanting, "We the People." They love chanting, "We the People." And Jericho cut them off and said, "We the People is dead." He says it sucks. It's dead and buried in the product of bad creative. And the people popped for that line. They chanted AEW. We've gotten some bad creative this week. So that one was well deserved. He called him the toughest MMA fighter in the world, which was quite hilarious. Then, by the way, I have to cut in here. I did not see, I didn't actually read the article, so hopefully somebody in the chat can chime in and let me know if this is true. I don't think this was a Photoshop. I saw a photo earlier from what appeared to be a press conference of Tito Ortiz and Alberto Del Rio, who apparently are going to have an MMA fight. I don't know if it's in Mexico, if it's going to be in this country, and what promotion this is. It might be that Combates Americas or whatever. I don't know, but I saw this photo of the two of them face-to-face. Tito had what looked like a UFC title, and Alberto had the WWE spinner belt that he had won when he became WWE champion. Please tell me that's not a real photo. I wish I would have inserted it into the slides here so I could show everybody. I popped up on my timeline earlier, and I'm looking. He's wearing that stupid WWE title over his shoulder. I said, this can't possibly be real. I mean, I know the fight is going to happen, but please tell me he was not wearing that spinner belt over his shoulder. I don't even know what to say. Of all the belts, too. Of all the versions of the WWE title, that one? Yeah, so anyway, I'm going to get back to the review here, but you guys will chime in. I'm checking the chat now. I have to know if this is real. Tito versus Alberto's. Yes, I know it's a real fight. I want to know if that photo is real. Please tell me if he was actually wearing that championship over his shoulder. Oh my goodness. Well, you guys will let me know. I'm going to move on here. Anyway, so he's building up Hagar, whatever the fuck you want to call him. He's calling him, basically the point is, he's a tough SOB, which I don't doubt. He's a big dude, amateur experience. I think he has a couple of MMA fights. I think he technically is undefeated. It's just funny calling him the toughest MMA fighter in the world, but he's healing it up. But the other thing he did, he called last week's Dynamite premiere the biggest premiere in TNT history. Well, I mean, that might be true if TNT was only around for 5 years. I don't believe it was their biggest in history. But Jericho is in full heel mode here. Then he talked about Cody. He said that he doesn't like Cody. He doesn't like Cody's family. He called Dusty Rhodes a jerk. Says he never liked him. He called Dustin a moron. He said he would beat the shit out of Cody. See, you can get away with stuff like that when it's TV-14. Although, it is weird. If you think back to last week, when there were chants of... What were they chanting at the end of the show? I don't think they were chanting bullshit. They were chanting maybe asshole or something. And the censors were bleeping it out. And I thought to myself, it's TV-14. People are getting away with saying the word ass and bitch and shit. What are you bleeping this out for? Or am I thinking of something... You know what I'm thinking of? I take that back. No. They didn't bleep it out. I'm thinking of SmackDown. That's... I'm thinking of I'm thinking of the other MMA guy, Cain Velasquez, at the end of SmackDown on Friday, when the crowd was chanting whatever it was they were chanting at Brock. There were these weird audio cuts, and I couldn't figure out if it was a technical issue, and then I kind of figured, okay, it's what they're chanting, but that's Fox, so I'll let them slide on that since that's a broadcast channel. But they can get away with that stuff here on TNT, so that's the cool thing. So he says he's going to beat the shit out of Cody, and then he's going to celebrate with a little bit of the bubbly. And everybody popped. I thought this was a fine promo. Jericho is having the run of his life right now. Now, I've always talked about Jericho in that 2008 phase where he's wearing the suits, and he had that great feud with Shawn Michaels. 6 months this story played out. It was so great. And that was arguably, I would say, if not the best, then one of the top two runs that he has had in his career. I don't know, you guys chime in the chat. Where would you put this run? I put this run, if not at the top, this has got to be number one or number two. Look at the run that this guy has been on ever since he left WWE. The stuff in New Japan, going to New Japan, having the Wrestle Kingdom match with Kenny Omega, winning the Intercontinental Championship, even though he rarely defended it. It's almost like he reinvented himself. He was like this completely different version of Jericho, Brawler Jericho over in Japan. And then to come to AEW and help start this new promotion, he's their first champion, he's got their title, he's got his own group. First time in Chris Jericho's career, I couldn't believe this. When I was thinking about this a few weeks ago, it was pointed out to me, but it's true. This is the first time in, how long has he been around for? 25 years, 30 years? His entire career, that Chris Jericho has his own faction. He's part of a faction. And the last time I brought this up, people say, oh, the Un-Americans. I don't think he's officially recognized as a member of the Un-Americans. I don't count the Un-Americans. Jericho was never a member of the Un-Americans. I mean, maybe he was loosely affiliated with them, but he was never a member of the Un-Americans. And I couldn't believe it. I said, wow, you know what? That's true. He was never part of a faction in WWE. He was never part of the NWO or anything like that in WCW. So here he is now, all these years later. He's in his late 40s, having maybe the best run of his entire career. And for the first time, he's got a group that he's part of. I just can't believe he's been around that long and was never really part of a faction, but now he is. And as far as Hager is concerned, I think if he stays silent in the background like that and just beats up people when needed, that really is the best role for him. He didn't say a word tonight. He just stood there with this kind of wide-eyed, stupid look on his face. And in the main event, he got involved. He got physical in the main event. That, I think, is the perfect role for him. They need to keep him away from the microphone as much as possible. You know, there's a reason why WWE has Paul Heyman with Brock Lesnar. Because when Paul's not around and Brock has to speak, usually it doesn't end well. Which is kind of weird, because when he was in UFC and he would do these press conferences, Brock was actually very good as a shit talker. In WWE, not so much. Some guys just aren't great talkers. Maybe it's the fact that they give him material that he has to memorize. And I mean, I just remember that one contract signing segment. This is before Heyman came back in 2012. And it was John Laurinaitis and Brock Lesnar. One of the most god-awful segments you'll ever see. The dialogue that this guy had to memorize and the way he was delivering it. Oh my God. It's no wonder, as the story goes, he went backstage that night into Gorilla. And he just took one look at Vince and everybody and he said, call Paul. Because even he knew, I can't do this shit. And then it was after that that they brought back Paul Heyman. Some guys just can't, they're just not very good talkers. You know, and I always felt that way about Swagger. It's not his strong suit. So the more quiet he is, the better. We had Darby Allin and Jimmy Havoc, two hardcore wrestlers. Well, more so Havoc, but two guys I look at as being guys who like to take a lot of punishment, use weapons in their matches. This was as tame of a match as you will ever see, I think, from either of these guys, especially Jimmy Havoc, which is, I think, is the problem with him, if there is a problem. Maybe that's not the right word. But the problem is when you have a guy like that, and you're used to seeing him in these matches where he's using staple guns and thumbtacks and all these different things. And then he has to just have a regular match. It's almost like a letdown because you kind of expect a certain style from him. But Havoc did a suplex to the outside. Suplexed Darby Allin over the top out to the floor. That looked like it sucked. Allin did hit a stunner later on. He nailed the coffin drop, which he does not always do, but he nailed the coffin drop. And as such, with this win, he did pick up the win. It will be Darby Allin challenging Chris Jericho for the AEW title next week in Philadelphia. So I think that should be fun. I think that'll be a good showcase for Allin. And, you know, obviously it's going to be a win for Jericho. A win for him going into the Full Gear match with Cody. We had Emi Sakura and Bea Priestley against Britt Baker and Riho. Sakura is the one who train Riho. So there's the connection there. Priestley's right shoulder was taped up. Didn't do much here aside from a pull apart at the end after the match with Britt Baker. So she may be wrestling through a legit injury. I don't know what the nature of the injury is. Obviously, it must be shoulder related, but how serious, I don't know. I thought Riho looked good. I thought Emi looked good here in this match. Again, Bea didn't do much. And, you know, Britt, I don't know. She's fine, but I didn't see anything overly special from her here in this match. Emi hit a twisting Vader bomb at one point, which was acknowledged by that name. That's, I mean, in WWE and in every promotion, they call it a Vader bomb. And Tony Schiavone just thought that that was the coolest thing in the world. He said, is that what they call it? He said, oh, that's cool. And when I interviewed Tony last year, this is when Tony had, he was part of MLW, And I had the chance to interview him. I think it was in November of last year. And you can find that interview elsewhere on the YouTube channel. I asked him about Vader. I actually brought up Vader in the interview. And the reason I brought up Vader had just passed away a few months earlier. Vader died in June of last year. I talked to Tony in November. And towards the end, I decided to just ask about Vader. And, you know, unfortunately, we've had a lot of legends who have passed away recently in recent years. And he shared a Vader story. If you want to hear it, again, you can go back and listen to it. But you could tell that he had a fondness for, Leon. He called him by his real name. And that he missed him. And he enjoyed him. He was a nice guy, when he was off camera and all that. So I don't doubt that that reaction here from Shivani was totally genuine. Like, he had no idea that that Vader bomb name was still kind of in use. And when he heard it, it made him think of Vader, and he actually was really happy about that. He thought it was really legitimately cool that that name was still being used. That was kind of, I don't know how many people picked up on it, but that was a nice moment. Baker won the match for her team with a crossface. Really, it was more of a Rings of Saturn than a pure crossface. Into the mandible claw, she stuck her fingers in Emmy's mouth, clamped down for the tap out. 2019, and the mandible claw is the most dangerous hold in all of wrestling. Which is pretty cool. I think that's pretty cool. We got a quick promo with the best friends, Beretta, Chucky T. They were in the audience, and they were being interviewed. Sitting behind them was this Orange Cassidy guy. He kind of looks familiar. I can't quite put my finger on it. By the way, the Wi-Fi at this hotel here in Boston is just really crappy. So it's amazing that this stream is working fine. Anyway, let's check out the chat room right now. Just see what we got going on in here. Hello to all the 1600 plus we have listening live. Let me just check and see if we have any shout outs to read here before we move on. And we got a lot of activity going on here in the chat. A lot of people popping for the Orange Cassidy sighting on the show tonight. Yeah, he's a pretty good guy. I hear he's a nice guy. That's just what I hear. I don't know that firsthand, but that's what I've been told. So then we had Jon Moxley taking on Sean Spears. Sean Spears out there with Tully Blanchard still in his corner. I know Tully Blanchard signed on for, I don't know if it's a set number of matches or a set number of months. I think it's a short-term deal. I don't know how long he's going to be around for. Hopefully he'll be around for a while. Pac sat in on commentary for the match. He was very upset. Very upset that he was being overlooked for opportunities in favor of guys like Jimmy Havoc and Darby Allin. And, you know, for a company that has touted the importance of wins and losses, right? We've heard Tony Khan and Cody and people talk about how wins and losses are going to matter. There's going to be statistics. This is going to be a statistics-based product, which we have yet to see. So I'm hoping that they implement something like that, something that you can kind of follow along with stat-wise. I think that could be fun. But really harping on wins and losses. Well, here's Pac. He's 2-0 so far. He's gotten two big wins. I think he makes a great point. So that's how I felt about it. He's telling the truth. He should be the one in the ring with Chris Jericho next week, not Darby Allin. So I thought they had a good match. They gave Spears, it wasn't a squash or anything. They gave him enough to make him give him some shine. But this was set up for Moxley. It was not set up for Sean Spears. You know, my question is, at what point does Tully get fed up with him losing these matches? You know, he lost to Cody. He lost here to Jon Moxley. He has to win at some point. This was not the time for it, but you would have to think at some point, he's got to get a win. So Spears, early in the match, hit a Death Valley driver on Moxley into the barricade on the outside. Moxley's head, the back of his head, smacked the floor. Moxley won with the Death Rider, the elevated double arm DDT. Kenny Omega walked out with a broom in one hand, because he's the cleaner, and a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire in the other. He tossed the bat to Moxley because dumb babyface syndrome lives on in AEW. I mean, there's a fine line between being brave and being stupid. That's just being stupid. Pac ran up from behind Omega, hit him in the back of the head with the point of the steel chair, right in the back of the head. Moxley stood over Omega with the bat, and he dropped the bat, and he walked off. I guess he wasn't in the mood to kill tonight. Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara in the main event against Hangman Adam Page and Dustin Rhodes, just skipping ahead. I thought, you know, it was a good match. We had a lion salt attempt by Jericho that got the knees. And Page made a hot tag to Dustin Rhodes. Dustin ran wild for a bit. He hit this big crossbody off the top onto the heels. There was an Adam Page moonsault from the top out to the floor, I believe, on Sammy Guevara. And when he got up to his feet, Jake Hager, who was at ringside, like a bat out of hell, just steamrolled Page with a clothesline. Dustin hit a code red on Jericho for a near fall. Went for Shattered Dreams, hit the snap power slam on Guevara. Hager attacked him from behind. Referee didn't see it. And Jericho hit the Judas Effect. Picked up the win for his team. Match ran just shy of 15 minutes. And so the inner circle beats down Dustin. Adam Page, he literally just threw a chair right at Jake Hager's face. It came off camera, like it came out of nowhere. He just grabbed a steel chair and just chucked it right at Hager's face. He did get his hands up at least, thank God. Lights went out in the ring. When they come back on is Cody in a suit. And he hit the crossroads to Sammy Guevara. He went face-to-face with Jericho until Santana and Ortiz came down. They hit him from behind. Then MJF came out. Place went nuts. This guy is the biggest prick in the world, and you would think he was the biggest baby. He's a bigger babyface than Seth Rollins. I mean, is it even debatable at this point that MJF is a bigger babyface than Seth Rollins? I think I'm a bigger babyface than Seth Rollins. I think this empty glass here is a bigger babyface than Seth Rollins. Not a good week for Seth Rollins. Anyway, MJF arrives. He's got a chair. He teases that he might hit Cody. And the inner circle is holding Cody. They want to make you think that MJF came down to join. This is like an NWO angle from the late 90s. Who's going to join? Is DDP going to join the NWO? And then he pulled a DDP, and where DDP gave Scott Hall the diamond cutter, MJF said, no thank you. And instead he attacked the inner circle with the chair until Jericho hit him with the code breaker and laid him out. Young Bucks came down. They tried to make the save, went after Santana and Ortiz. And Jericho headed for higher ground as he's about to leave. He's about to head down the aisle. Darby Allin comes out and just charges down to the ring. He's got a skateboard. Rides a skateboard out, tackles Jericho, hits Jericho with a skateboard, and that's how they went off the air. I thought that it was a hot angle to end the show. A lot of bodies out there. Good setup for Jericho and Darby next week. And Jericho against Cody at Full Gear. Now from this, from what we saw here, I think the only matches official for the pay-per-view on November 9 are Jericho and Cody and Moxley and Omega. From this here, I would have to think we're probably headed for the Bucks against Santana and Ortiz and Adam Page against Jake Hager. Now, where does MJF fit into all this? I don't know. I said about a month ago, or after All Out, that everything is in prime position for MJF to finally turn on Cody, because you know it's coming. It didn't happen tonight. It would have been stupid for them to blow it off tonight. But you know that it's coming at some point. This guy is too big of a dick not to. So the only question is when? How long do they want to drag out this friendship that they have portrayed, you know, on those YouTube videos now for months and months? I figure Full Gear is as good a time as any. Cody is this close to winning the championship, and MJF costs Cody the title. And that's how Jericho retains at the pay-per-view. Now, what his logic or explanation is for turning on Cody, I mean, it could be anything. It could be like what Pac was complaining about tonight. Overlooked, you know, for opportunities. You thought I was your friend. What a joke. I mean, they can go any number of directions with it. Maybe he learns that Cody plays Dungeons and Dragons and he can't be friends with him anymore. Any fucking way they want to come up with, they can come up with an explanation. But I still think the turn happens at Full Gear. And he ends up costing Cody the title. So next Wednesday, it's going to be Britt Baker, it was announced, challenging Riho for the AEW Women's Championship. And Chris Jericho defending the AEW World title against Darby Allin. I don't foresee any title changes next week. I think it's way too soon. But we shall see. So let's check out the results so far of the Twitter poll. You can vote. Poll is up right now on my Twitter, at Solomonster. It's going to be up for a couple more days if you want to cast your vote. What did you think of AEW Dynamite Week 2 from Boston? So far, we've got just shy of 2,000 votes. 88% thumbs up. 12% thumbs down. Almost the inverse of my Hell in a Cell poll from Sunday night. I believe my Hell in a Cell poll, which had almost 8,000 votes, ended with, I want to say it was 9% thumbs up, and I think 91% thumbs down. So this was almost the inverse. I did not put a poll up. I should start putting polls up for NXT as well. I will start doing that. I would have to think, I haven't watched it yet, but with NXT, I would have to think that the results of that poll would mirror this poll. Wednesday night is just a damn good night for wrestling. So is Tuesday now, with that NWA show, which I'm going to review and talk about on the podcast this Sunday. I thought that was a hell of a show. So let's take some phone calls here. I want to hear from you guys what you thought of week two of AEW on TNT. Take a few calls here. We'll start out with, I believe, we have Carol in Massachusetts. You're on the air.
That's actually my mom's name. That's weird. This is James. I still see.
Oh.
But well, that's different.
We're off to a great start.
But, yeah, I know. It's fine. But, wow. I don't know what it was about AEW, and I know this like probably wasn't like the best showing that they've had, but something about a nice flowing wrestling show, and it wasn't perfect by any means, but I felt like I enjoyed it so much more. It probably has something to do with the abysmal crap that happened on Sunday, but honest to God, I can't tell you how good it feels to have all these other options with the NWA and Ring of Honor and Impact coming on Access and AEW especially and NXT. It's just like, it's refreshing in a way. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah,
this
no.
is what I needed.
Yeah,
this
no,
is absolutely what I needed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And thank you for the call. I think it's a great time for these other promotions to be popping up and to be on their A game. If ever there was a time for somebody to try to get, you know, the attention of kind of the WWE crowd and say, hey, you know, over here, if you're not really enamored with what you're seeing on Sundays and Mondays and Fridays, come check us out. And some people will disagree with that. Some people will say, oh, WWE, it's all great. There's no problems. Everything is great. Like that kid Cody. You know, there's a lot of disenfranchised people out there. And I think there are fans for the taking. So whether it's NWA or AEW or MLW, it's a great time, I think, for these shows to try to grab a little bit of that audience. So could not be happening at a better time. Let's go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. You are on the air.
Hey, Soul Monster. Thanks so much for everything you do for keeping wrestling refreshing. And really, I mean, the NWA event, I think that really just takes the cake for everything that's going on in wrestling. And I think that they are the underrated show that's going on, because they're taking a slow and steady approach, and they are keeping to the basics of wrestling. And, I mean, that's, you know, all the other brands, you know, they're following almost a similar mold, and it's, you know, without getting too Jim Cornette-ish and whatnot, you know, it's a lot of arcade wrestling, a lot of too much over-dramatization, and the thing is the actors are not that good. And what's going on with NWA is these are wrestlers, and these are passionate individuals, and I think that that's a show that we need to be focusing on, because that's what we're going to start seeing a lot of these bigger branches taking the you know, their ideas from, I think. What are your thoughts? And I'll take the answer off the line. Thanks so much for everything you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I think NWA is different enough. I mean, obviously they're taking an old school approach, but when you watch it, and it's only one episode, but when you watch it, it's just, it's different enough that I think it's, that's why you use the word refreshing. It's just, it's an hour, it's an easy watch, it doesn't overstay its welcome. They have, you know, they have a good roster of guys. It's a relatively small roster. You know, we're going to see people like Damian Sandow and others pop up in the upcoming weeks, Rock and Roll Express and all that, which is interesting considering they're in their 60s, but they're still going. They're still going. You look, I mean, they're doing indie dates and stuff. It's amazing that they can, I mean, there are guys their age or even a little younger than them who are all crippled up and can barely move. So, hey, more power to them. So we're going to see more from them in the upcoming weeks. Again, I'll talk more about it on Sunday. But no, I watched it, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. I just don't know how long they can sustain that for, as far as, you know, paying for that kind of production and being on YouTube. If they're making YouTube ad money, I mean, is that going to be enough to float them? I don't know. I know Corgan has some money, but there's no such thing as an infinite amount of money. So I do wonder how long they expect to go on like that for, but... what I saw this week was pretty damn cool. Let's check out Chicago, Illinois. We have somebody from the Windy City on the line.
Hey, Jason, it's Frankie. Yep, from Chicago.
Hey, Frankie, how you doing?
Good, good. So, two things. One, just commenting on the...
I think I lost you, Frankie. You're cutting in and out.
Hello?
Yep.
Am I? Can you hear me better?
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Sorry about that, Jason. When it comes to the NXT versus AEW aspect of the war, every time I tried to channel surf to watch NXT, nothing about it on the screen kept my interest to like stay. I think at some point I saw Killian Dane having a squash match, and it was during the Darby Allin versus Jimmy Havoc match. So, it held up against AEW.
Yep, he cut out again. I couldn't hear the whole question. If you want to try calling back, I couldn't hear the whole question, unfortunately. So it might be faulty line, but let's move on here. We have Pensacola, Florida. Pensacola, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Who am I talking to?
Hey, you're talking to Chris, Christopher from Pensacola.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, I'm sorry. I just called you and I got on real quick, but I just wanted to ask you with AEW this week, how good it. I thought it was really well done compared to watching NXT, and I'm a big supporter of NXT. I've always been a big supporter of it with the NXT team and Team EDQ that I do with predictions. But my thing is with AEW having such a great show this week, can you see them continuing to put on great shows, or do you think at some point they're going to have something where they slip on a banana peel and have a bad show, and that may be a downward spiral for them?
Well, they can't. You can't have a great show every single week. I mean, I hate this notion that they're going to hit a week where the show is kind of like dull, and all hope is lost. You know, like WWE, they've had how many years of Raw, how many years of SmackDown? Even I understand not every week is going to be a winner. You know, my issue with like Raw lately, for example, is that there's more duds than not, but there's a bigger pool of kind of shows to go back and look and see how they've done. AEW's had two shows so far. I don't expect every week is going to be a home run. I would hope that these first, you know, half a dozen shows, they're putting their best foot forward because they're trying to win over an audience right now. You know, they may have won the ratings battle last week where they had 1.4 million. Although I saw one commercial tonight where they said 7 million people. I don't know how they're adding that up. They had 1.4 million people watch live. With replays and everything else, they had somewhere between 2 and 2.5 million people watch them last week, which is good. I mean, you know, for a promotion that never had TV before. But you've got to build, how are you going to build that audience? Now, if the ratings go down this week, which I thought they might if they got bumped from TNT because of the baseball game, but they didn't. So we'll see what the numbers are tomorrow. If the audience slides, then what does that mean? You know, is 1.4 the ceiling? Is that as high as it goes? Or is there room for them to climb? I had so many messages from people saying after the Hell in a Cell finish on Sunday, oh, this is, AEW is going to be the beneficiary. You watch, their ratings are going to go up this week. I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure one has anything to do with the other. Yeah, it's like all these people who say, I'm going to cancel my network subscriptions. All right, well, some people sent me screenshots of them canceling the network. Do you think the vast majority of people who say they're going to cancel their network subscriptions actually cancel their network subscriptions? Of course not. Of course not. Or if they do, they'll be back within a month. You know, they're blowing off steam. They say, you know, they say things like that. At the end of the day, I don't think that what happened on Sunday is going to make that much of a difference what happens here with this show. And if anything, I think the audience may decrease. But all they could do is just go out every week and put on a great show. I thought tonight was very good. So do the same thing next week. We've got two championship matches on tap. They're building to their next pay-per-view. So we'll see how they do. 4 weeks in, 5 weeks in, 6 weeks in, after full gear, then we'll have a better sense. I don't know when their next pay-per-view is going to be after November 9th. That could be their last pay-per-view of the year. They're not having pay-per-views every single month like WWE. So I don't know if the next one's in January. I don't know if the next one's in February. I like the fact that they won't have shows every month. It gives them more time to kind of build to them. You know, but they may hit a point where the shows get kind of dull. We'll see. But we're only 2 weeks in, so it's impossible to say. Let's go to Clearfield, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Saul Monster, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you? Who am I speaking with?
I'm back.
What's your question?
I got a question regarding Pac. Obviously, we know he's 2-0 after the wins against Omega and Hangman Page. Would you make a lengthy undefeated streak for Pac and eventually winning the AEW World Championship, or what would you do?
I'd keep him winning for a while. Would I put the championship on him? I wouldn't put it on him anytime soon. I think Jericho should have a nice run with it of at least a few months. I definitely would not take the title off Jericho anytime soon. I think a guy like Pac and a guy like Sean Spears, for example, would benefit from having a secondary title. We have a world title. We have the tag team titles, right? The tournament that's ongoing. And we now have a women's champion. What they're missing is a secondary title. And there's time. They don't have to have one immediately. But I think Pac could be the beneficiary of that just because I just don't think it's his time right now. Jericho needs to hold on to that thing for a while. So I would keep him winning. And maybe if they're going to have a tournament and introduce some kind of television title or something like that, he would be a great candidate for it. I think he should win something like that first before he sniffs the world title. Let's go to international caller in Toronto.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Good. Is this Paul?
Yes, it is. So just calling in, saying it was a great show tonight. I do have one kind of ongoing concern, and it's with Kenny Omega. I'm looking at the main event picture of AEW, and I don't know if there's any opponents that can bring out the best of him in terms of match quality. And I'm wondering, you know, how they're going to address it. And with the Super Junior tournament, with there being no ROH or CMLL New Japan, do you think that they're one step closer to working together with Harold leaving? Because I think all of his good opponents are honestly there.
I hope so. I said this on my show last week. I used the analogy. I said, I wish they would just fuck already and get it over with. Because I think it's inevitable these two are going to come together. I don't know, you know, exactly what the holdup is. I don't know if it's this relationship between ROH and New Japan, which doesn't seem like much of a relationship right now. And I don't really see what they get out of it, to be perfectly honest with you. I think the idea of New Japan and AEW forming some kind of alliance or talent exchange makes all the sense in the world. You know, New Japan is trying to increase its footprint here in the U.S. Well, you have this brand new promotion with a whole bunch of guys who spent time in New Japan. And they're on TNT, which is one of the bigger cable stations in the country. So you can have a relationship with Ring of Honor. What's that going to get you? You might have the odd match with some New Japan guys that pops up on Sinclair. You know, I mean, but with AEW, if they have access to some of the bigger New Japan stars and they can put them on TNT, that's huge for New Japan. And for AEW, they get access to some of the best wrestlers in the world on their show. New Japan is still a very popular brand. So I think it makes all the sense in the world for them to work together. I hope they work out whatever their differences are. I don't know exactly what the issue is or if it's a whole bunch of different issues. They're going to work together. I'm convinced they're going to work together at some point within the next year. Probably within the next 6 to 8 months, if I had to take a guess. I don't think we're that far off. I just wish they would do it already. What are you waiting for? Makes all the sense in the world for the two of them to work together. And I think for a guy like Omega, to be able to go back and forth, it would be good for him as well. Let's go to Maryland. You're on the air.
Solomon, sir. Let me just tell you, man, I love your opinions and everything you've been talking about lately with WWE and AEW.
Thank you.
I really like your show big time, man, big time.
Thank you.
My question is this. I've been noticing in AEW, they bring in a lot of, like, older wrestlers and WWE, like, rejects. Not rejects, I'm saying WWE guys that have been cut. Now, what I'm saying is, do you think they're going to go down the WCW path? Because that's what it's looking like.
As far as what, just bringing in all the, like, the mid-card WWE guys?
Like, let's say WWE, yes, let's say they cut WWE guys. Guys WWE don't really care for anymore, you know. Some of them are good talent and all that, but, you know, some of them are not. And then, since they're WWE guys, they're like, oh, let's pick these guys up. So then they just pick them up, and it don't matter. They just keep picking up WWE guys that have been cut and start to turn into a WCW, you know, 2000.
Yeah, I'd be worried about that. I don't think they're just going to take anybody. I hope not. That's what TNA did. If you got cut from WWE, there was a period of time during the Dixie Carter era where it didn't matter who you were, why you were cut. I think Jeff Hardy was cut. Or maybe, no, he didn't get cut, but he left, I think, on his own. But he had the arrest, and he had these drug issues. And, you know, TNA had no problem bringing him in because, hey, he's a big name. So we'll bring him in. And there was a period where they would bring almost anybody in if they were from WWE. And the more you do of that, you do kind of get that reputation of, well, you know what, let's say if you had a mid-card guy who was, you know, middle of the card in WWE, a middle of the card WWE guy could be a headline guy in Impact Wrestling. So I think AEW has to be very careful. If they bring in a Jake Hager and he just stands there as a bodyguard for Chris Jericho, I got no problem with that. Sean Spears is a guy who could have done a lot more in WWE. He deserved a chance to go out and, you know, do more than what they did with him. Is it a case where he's not allowed to have a job? He's actually pretty good. He's not a world champion. He's not going to be a world champion, I don't think, but there's no reason they couldn't use a guy like him. I don't know if you want to ascribe a certain number. There's like a quota. We will not go above a certain number of ex-WWE guys. I think you just pick and choose. You can't take everybody. Then you are going to have a reputation as being a place where, as like you said, the rejects from WWE, everybody is welcome to just come on in. I think you want to put limits on that. But I don't really have too much of an issue with the people that they've brought in so far. But yes, they have to be very careful of that because it didn't work out too well for TNA. TNA, actually, I will say this about Impact, even though I'm not watching them every week like I did years ago. I hear nothing but good things about their roster. I hear very positive things generally about their pay-per-view events that they do every couple of months or every few months. And I think it's largely right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's largely with a roster of their own talent that they've built up. I mean, some guys have come over from like Lucha Underground and stuff, but it's basically a roster that's not made up of just former WWE guys, and they've really done a good job. of taking people like that and building them up and creating their own, you know, their own roster with Sami Callihan and Brian Cage, people like that, Tessa Blanchard, who could easily be on the main roster in WWE right now. And if she was, she'd be one of the best women they have. And so they should be lucky to have somebody like her instead of WWE having her. So I will give them credit for that. It's in a lot of ways, it's like night and day. It's just a shame that they have no buzz. There's just, you know, with Impact and even more so lately Ring of Honor, nobody is talking about them. Everyone's talking, if they're not talking about WWE or something negative that WWE is doing or even something positive that WWE is doing, you've got the Wednesday Night War, AEW, NXT, now NWA is here. All of a sudden, NWA came out of nowhere. NWA's been building for a long time. Nobody was talking about it. All of a sudden, they have one show, and they're the belle of the ball. Everybody's like, holy shit, where did this come from? You know, MLW has a good product. It's only so many hours in the week. You know, like in my case, there's only so many things that I can watch and review on my show. So that's the one kind of shame about Impact right now. For all the good things I hear about it, nobody's talking about them. Let's take a couple more, and then we will wrap up here. I think we got William on the line.
Hi, Jason. It's Will from Madison, Ohio. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Will. How are you?
Doing pretty great myself on this Wednesday of wrestling. I'm loving it.
What did you think of the show?
Oh, I thought they were great, both AEW and NXT. I got to say, watching the opening matches for both with Young Bucks and Private Party and also Gulak and Rush on NXT at the same time, it's really refreshing to have two products that are pretty much at the top of their game, not WWE-wise, but NXT for that matter.
Yeah, no, it's amazing how Wednesday has turned into the must-see night for wrestling. And in a lot of ways, you know, Monday has turned into the miss it and you don't miss much kind of night, which is hopefully that will change soon. But I think Wednesday is easily the must-see night right now for wrestling.
Yeah, without spoiling much, I got to say Gulak and Rush, they really killed it. And the rest of NXT wasn't too bad, honestly, in my opinion, either. But AEW all the way through, I thought they had a fantastic show all around. I was watching more AEW than it was NXT.
Yeah, it's a good mix. I like the mix of talent and the way they're building their stories, the announcing. Yeah, Jim Ross, I didn't think he had a great night, if we're being honest. He seemed very shaky. Tony Schiavone, though, I love hearing his voice again on one of the main shows. Excalibur, I think, is fine. And so even commentary on the whole, I think, is a strong point for them. So I like what they're doing so far. NXT, I did not see it. I did not read any spoilers or anything, but I do know they opened with that Cruiserweight title match. Apparently it was great. So as soon as we're done here, as soon as I wrap this up here in a few minutes, I plan on going back and watching it. That's honestly the match I was most looking forward to this week, is Lio Rush and Drew Gulak. So I'm sure they tore the house down.
Indeed they did. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. All right, we'll take one more and then have a quick note here and we'll wrap it up. Let's go to Silsbee, Texas, the home of, I believe it's Silsbee. I hope it's, is it Silsbee or Beaumont? I know we have somebody in Texas on the line.
Yeah, it's me, Joseph, from Silsbee, Texas. I currently just moved to Beaumont.
Okay, see, that's where the confusion was. So yeah. Let's just say we have a caller from Texas on the line.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Okay, yeah. Well, first, let me first just say happy late birthday. Happy late birthday.
Oh,
I was at work. Didn't have time to do that. I have a two-parter, and I know you're trying to wrap it up, so I'm going to kind of make it kind of fast. I don't know if I wasn't paying attention with AEW and stuff, but I don't think I've heard of a secondary title. And I'm just curious, you know, if they, I'm not sure if they have one, but if they did have one, who do you think should be the first person to win it? And also with, you know, how AEW and WWE and NWA is, I don't know if it's just me, you know, that's what I'm asking you. Do you get this kind of a late 90s? Of course, you know, wrestling's never going to be as hot as it was in 97 or anything like that. But do you get this kind of vibe because you have you got to think about it. You got WWE and AEW on Wednesday going against each other. And then you kind of got NWA on the outskirts, which is kind of like how it was back in the day when you had WWE versus WCW. And, you know, ECW was kind of on the outskirts because, you know, I remember back in those times, in this area, we had to be up at like 2 a.m. to get ECW. You know, so I was just saying, do you kind of get that vibe with what's going on with the surge of wrestling right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. The thing is, I did an interview the other day, and somebody asked me the question. They said, you know, AEW did 1.4 million last week, and that's okay, but do you ever see wrestling getting back to the level of popularity and the numbers that we saw 20 years ago? Like, there's a lot of momentum right now with AEW, and do you think that, you know, the combined audiences, do you think we can get back to that level one day? And my answer was no, I don't. I don't think we will ever get back to that, ever. I mean, ever is a long time, but that's how I feel. Because you had so many people watching wrestling back then who were casual, who just thought wrestling was cool. And that's the thing. There's more wrestling now than ever before. And there's more access to wrestling now on TV and YouTube and all that than ever before, than even 20 or 30 years ago. Wrestling now is not cool. 20 years ago, wrestling was cool. And wrestling is not cool right now. So you're not going to have all of these people, unless they're diehards, like the people listening to this stream right now, you're not going to get these people to suddenly show up in mass. Oh, well, there's a new promotion on TNT. I better start watching. That's why you didn't have 2 million people or 3 million people watching on TNT on Wednesday last week. It's not like these people are sitting in a cave somewhere looking at their watch saying, oh boy, it's about time. We've been waiting. Like they've been just standing by waiting for 20 years doing nothing else. They've moved on. They had their fill. Wrestling's not cool. Or they matured. They got older. They had kids. Whatever. So I don't think we'll ever get back to that point. But that vibe about there being different options on TV at different days of the week, and you know, if you're not getting your fill from this one, you can watch that one. Yeah, we're seeing that now. It's pretty cool. It's cool to have options. It's cool that I'm sitting here doing a stream about something other than WWE. So I think all that's great, but I think we need to be realistic. If you're going to compare it to that era gone by, and people like to romanticize about that, we had 10 million people a week at its peak watching wrestling on a Monday night between the two shows. 10 million people on some weeks. Never going to see that again. Never going to see that again. So if AEW can float and survive on 1.5 million every week, great. I think that's great. Can the NWA survive on YouTube doing 100,000 views every single week? Long term, probably not. I hope they can find a network. It kind of felt to me like a pilot watching that first episode, and I'm sure they would still love to get on a network. I hope they do. And I hope when they do, I'll still be able to watch it. YouTube is great, right? Anybody can watch on YouTube. But I don't know if YouTube is going to pay the bills or, you know, for how long that can go on for. So I love having options. But as far as getting back those old audiences, that ain't going to happen. So we'll wrap it up there. We got some good calls tonight. Twitter poll is still up if you want to vote. Sound Off 621 this Sunday. As always, the podcast will drop on all the usual platforms, including Pandora and Spotify. I'll be covering NXT. I'll be covering night one of the WWE draft, which is coming up this Friday night on SmackDown. We'll talk about that. I will talk more in depth about the NWA Power, which I encourage everybody to go watch on their YouTube channel if you have not yet seen it. It was awesome. It's been getting rave reviews, and deservedly so, we'll talk about that. Plus a brand new RSPW Rewind, which has quickly become everyone's favorite segment on the show. So all of that coming up this Sunday. Before that, I am planning on recording the debut installment, the pilot episode, if you will, of Sound Off Inbox, where I answer your questions right here exclusively on the YouTube channel. Watch for that later this week. I'm aiming for Friday for the first episode of that to go up. And so there's going to be a lot of good content on the YouTube channel coming up. This has been one of the biggest weeks ever for this channel, just in the last 3 or 4 days alone. So thank you all for the support. Give this video a like if you would be so kind. If you have not already done so, hit that sub button. And I will see you guys back here again very soon. So again, for everybody tuning into the stream tonight, thank you very much. Have yourselves a great rest of the week. A lot of content coming to the channel, so keep it right here. And I'll see you guys soon. Good night.